Welcome to the Allison Lombatis Show, a podcast to help women discover and rediscover their confidence and style. I'm Allison Lombatis, and I'm so glad to have you joining me today. On this episode, I'm being joined by my business manager, podcast co-producer, and friend, Lauren Smith. Lauren is my right hand here at Outfit Formulas, and I don't know what I'd do without her. Honestly, one of the reasons I was so thrilled to do a podcast was so I could introduce you to her. She is one of the best women I know, and I've known Lauren for 7 years. We actually first connected when she became a member of my style program, Outfit Formulas, back in the winter of 2016. We chatted via DM shortly after she joined, and the following spring, she joined my team. It was one of those situations where I told my husband, I must work with this woman. And as they say, the rest is history. I am super excited for her to share her style story on today's episode and delighted to let you know that this will not be the last time you'll hear Lauren and I chat. She'll be a regular voice on the show in future episodes as well. Lauren's style story includes growing up with limited clothing options, the realization that her bargain shopping ways were not paying off, and the discoveries she's been making about her style lately. As always, I have the deepest respect and appreciation for those who are brave enough to share their style stories. I ask that you hold space for vulnerability and show kindness to every guest of the show. My hope is that these stories will inspire you to consider your own style story. And if you haven't subscribed to the show yet, please take a moment to do it now. I've got an incredible lineup of episodes for you in the coming weeks, and I don't want you to miss a thing. I am so excited to share this conversation with you, and it was so good that we ended up splitting it into two parts. And there are so many things that I loved and I know you're going to love about this conversation. So without further ado, here is part one of my conversation with Lauren Smith. Hey, Lauren, welcome back to the show. I'm so excited to have you.
Thank you, Allison. I am so glad to be here. I am excited to share my style story. I was so inspired after hearing yours, and I hope to do the same for our listeners today.
Well, this is a dream come true. I'm going to say it again. I said it the first episode that we did, but I just love that we're able to get together and have these chats. What you don't know is that Lauren and I have these chats like on a weekly basis in real life. So just being able to share our style stories here is super cool. So I'm excited to dive into it today.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I think one of the things I'm most excited about with this podcast is, you know, people get to see social media Allison and like Outfit Formulas CEO Allison, and you are the same person, but I know a different side of you. And when we chat in our, you know, in our weekly meetings, like there's a different you that I am excited for the rest of the world to get to know as well. So I'm really excited for that.
Well, likewise, I can't wait for them to learn more about you and your style story. I know a little bit about it, but really just looking forward to diving into all the good stuff today.
Absolutely. Well, before we do start, I do want to offer a quick body image content warning. If you do not have capacity for a conversation that involves discussions of weight, please take care of yourself and skip today's episode. We will be back in your podcast feed next week with a new episode, and do what you need to do to look after yourself.
I love that. Thank you.
Of course.
So we all have our style role models, and I would love to hear about some of the women that really just influenced you growing up and, well, spoiler alert, but maybe some of the men too.
Ooh.
Who did you look up to?
What a teaser. Okay. So I love this question. And honestly, I was surprised about who came to mind when I started thinking about this. The first person that came to my mind was my aunt. She was probably in her 20s when I was born. And I just thought she was like the coolest woman on the face of the earth. I followed her around like a little puppy at every family gathering. I'm sure she was annoyed to heck of me. I always admired her. I loved her kind of boho edgy style. She really came of age in the 80s and I know was like part of the music scene and kind of the punk rock scene as well. She had long dark hair, which like I have long dark hair, so clearly this is an influence on me. She was always wearing these beautiful printed dresses. I just like she looked like a goddess to me. And so she was definitely one of my style inspirations, role model growing up. Another one that comes to mind is a lady who went to my church when I was growing up. She always wore like the most unique, luxurious looking shoes. They were unlike anything I saw any other woman wearing. They were these bright, bold colors. There's this really like lime green kind of color pair that's coming to mind for me. But always like these like leather and suede and just really feel, I think she was European. So I'm guessing that may be where some of her style influences came from. But just again, it was like nobody else at church has shoes like this. So every week when I would go, I'd be like, what is she wearing today? I need to see. And again, in reflecting and preparing for today, I was also remembering like, oh, she also had, you know, white, like pure white gray hair. And I can't help but wonder now, like, did that impact me embracing my grays when I was in my 30s too? So those are the first couple that came to mind that kind of honestly were a little bit unexpected for me. I think like most women, my mother was one of my style role models growing up. She stayed home and did like the home daycare thing when we were young. But once I was in school full time, she really stepped into her career woman role and always, you know, beautiful makeup. To this day, the woman rolls out of bed and immediately goes for lipstick and coffee within the first 5 minutes of waking up. And she, you know, had this movie star hair. I just picture like these rolling, I think the hot rollers were the thing back in that day. So the hot rollers with these beautiful waving curls and that, I don't know, 80s, 90s, we always call it the bang poof, where you like curl, blow dry the like half of your bangs down and then the back. I've seen your photos. I know you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yes. The teased up. Yeah, the Aquanet. Oh, yes.
Exactly. So my mother, like, she rocked that bang poof. She taught me my love and fondness for a good hairspray. And then in terms of my mom's clothing, there was this MLM brand company in Canada. I don't think it was in the US at all, but it was called Weekenders Clothing. And they were these collections of mix and match pieces. So tops, bottoms, layers. And it was just like Tupperware. Like you'd go to these house parties and all these women, you know, sit around and sip your tea and try on clothes, and they had accessories and the whole bit. But she always loved those outfits. They were really easy for her to pair up. So again, I think even, you know, back then, like women are looking for those, give us those done for you solutions, eliminate the decision. She knew that all of those pieces would pair together nicely. They were easy to wash. They looked good. They were comfortable. She just always looked very put together. So she was definitely one of my style role models. And then my last one, which again, kind of surprised me as I was thinking about it, but my dad was one of my style role models. You know, he's always really been intentional and looked after his appearance really well. He's, you know, always got a clean shaven face. He's a pretty dapper guy, in my opinion, and is incredibly handsome in a suit. And he and I also share a love of good shoes. So it's not uncommon for us to shoot messages back and forth. I'll be like, hey, Dad, I saw these shoes. Aren't they incredible? And, you know, we have a shared affinity for an appreciation of a nice shoe.
I love that. I love that your dad was a style influence because he was one of our models for the Alpha Formulas menswear capsule. So I can definitely attest to the fact that you have one dapper dad. And I loved hearing the stories about your aunt and the lady at church too, because I can see this so clearly in your style. You have that boho edgy vibe. And then also the elements that you pulled from the lady at church too, and the cool shoes, this like the statement shoes. Wow, that's so cool. So thinking back on your style story around age 9 or 10, how do you feel that Lauren was feeling about her clothes and appearance around that time in your life?
Yeah, you know, this is where things get a little sensitive for me. And I think around that age was when I started to realize that my body didn't look like everyone else's. You know, one of my memories is being in third grade and we were in math class and they were teaching us how to draw charts and graphs. And the exercise for the class to do was to, we went around and they measured everyone's height and they put everyone on a scale and they measured everyone's weight. And so we were supposed to take our measurements and put them into a chart or graph or whatever. And I didn't think anything of it. And the teacher kind of quietly came around to me and she kind of whispered to me and she said, you know, Lauren, you don't have to put your weight on your chart if you don't want to. And like, it had never occurred to me not to until she said those words to me. I didn't realize that that was something that I should feel ashamed of or embarrassed about. And I kind of, okay. And I put my weight on the chart anyways, cause I didn't know any better. I didn't know that I shouldn't. Right. Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, I remember like later that same year sitting, circle time on the floor. Right. And you're all sitting around side by side. And I remember like looking down at my legs and seeing my thighs and noticing that the girl beside me, her thighs were like so much tinier than mine. So in terms of the timing of this, like this was the early 90s. Clothing options for plus size in Canada have never been good. but especially back then, like they barely existed, let alone for kids. Walmart finally opened here in the mid 90s, which everyone was super excited about. But even then, the only jeans that would fit me that were, you know, in the price range that we could afford were men's Wrangler jeans. And I don't think I need to tell anybody that men's Wrangler jeans aren't exactly what a tween is hoping to wear. That's not the vision you have for how you want to express yourself. So that was just, you know, it was challenging. I remember doing back to school shopping and, you know, my parents would take us to the mall and, you know, like any parent, you want to do everything you can for your child to not like experience like pain or sadness or any of those things. Right. And so I remember going to the mall and my parents just patiently taking me from like store to store to store and just like nothing would work. And I remember the bench on the mall that I sat on and I cried to this day. You know, I know exactly where that bench was in the mall. I just think I felt like I never belonged anywhere. I wasn't welcome in most stores. As I moved through my teen years, you know, like I think every girl did back then, trips to the mall with my friends. And those trips for me involved a lot of waiting because a lot of the stores that they wanted to go into, they didn't have anything that fit me. So, you know, I'd kind of like casually browse and act like I was interested in the clothing or whatnot. To be clear, my girlfriends are always like, well, Lauren, what stores do you want to go into? And they were more than willing to wait with me and do the flip reverse. But I'm a people pleaser. And it was like, oh, no, I just feel like I know that we're only here because of me. So I couldn't, I felt like I didn't want to take that time. So, you know, I will own that. I did have supportive friends. That wasn't the case. It was just, I didn't want to take the time away from what was supposed to be a group experience. And I knew that I was the odd one out in that, not them. So I would spend a lot of time when we went into these stores where it was clothing for them, but I would kind of browse the accessories or I'd browse footwear where my size was less relevant to what was a possibility for me, which as I got older and now I have size 11 feet, that's a different kind of struggle. I spent a lot of time with my friends when they were browsing in those stores and I would focus more on like the footwear or the accessories because my size was less of an issue in trying to find something that would work for me. You know, as I got older, unfortunately, I was blessed with size 11 feet, which is still difficult to find footwear for. We had Payless shoes here in Canada, but they closed. So honestly, it's still a little difficult to find footwear that works, but it's getting better, especially, you know, gotten real good at like filtering searches online. So, that's less of an issue these days, but you know, and it's funny, like in preparing for today's episode, again, like I think unless you really take the moment to step back and reflect, I don't think we organically connect these dots. So one of the things that I was thinking about, how do I like to express my style these days? And I kind of have come around to, I feel like I'm more of a closet staples basics kind of girl, which I know you can relate with as well, Allison. And I thought to myself, yeah, you know, I lean towards the basics, but I like to explore, be a little bit braver in my footwear or my accessories. And in putting those dots together, I thought to myself, do I actually like that? Or have I gone that route? Because that was the only thing available to me for so many years when I was growing up, right? I didn't have the option to shop at the stores where I could explore the trends that all my friends were. My options only were shoes and accessories. So, and like, I honestly, I'll probably never know because like here's where we are now, but I don't know. I just feel like I did a lot of settling for a lot of years in the clothing department, well into my 30s. I think there's a difference between like not having permission to explore your style versus not having any options or very limited options available to you. And it's really only been in recent years, like in conversations that you and I have had, where I've really made that connection of having these feelings and it being the root of, excuse me, why I've never enjoyed shopping. And that's the thing that also led me to finding you. I hate shopping. So it was like, I just need an easy solution.
First off, I want to thank you for being so vulnerable and sharing that story with us. I feel like there are probably a lot of listeners out there who really can connect with having that feeling and not, you know, feeling like shopping was for them for whatever reason. So thank you, first off. And also, I think it's really powerful too, the story that you told about the charts in the math class about how as children, we just accept our bodies, right, for what they are before the world starts putting their own, you know, opinions in our ears. And it's such a thing of beauty to think back to those innocent times. And I think that that's kind of that place we all want to get back to, right? Of being in that space where we just love and accept ourselves for who we are. So thank you for being brave. Did you feel like as a teen that, you know, you shared some of the struggles you had with shopping and things, but did you feel like you were able to explore your style? And did you also have any, rules that existed in your household around fashion or style?
Yeah, I honestly, I feel like I did have that chance. I had that opportunity. My parents were pretty laid back when it came to style. They, you know, they let my brother and I, for the most part, dress however we wanted, as long as it was sort of, you know, modest and appropriate and not offensive to anybody. But outside of kind of those, you know, general guardrails, they let us wear what we wanted, which I'm really grateful for. You know, my mom is a creative. She's an artist. My dad also has some creativity in him. You know, he's done drawing and woodworking and those kind of things over the years. So I think when you have that frame of mind, you're more open to letting other people express themselves too, because you know that you wouldn't want to be held back in those ways. You know, and in terms of growing up and shopping, like we never had a big budget to shop for clothes. But we did get to do back to school shopping every year. We got to get a few things. I feel like we always like just like missed the mark on what was like actually the cool thing. I remember when I was younger and Adidas Gazelle sneakers were like the popular sneaker of the time. And both my brother and I ended up with these like Converse sneakers. I want to say like one star, but I don't even know if that's right. My memory's not the best. And like, don't get me wrong, like Converse are still a good brand name, but it was just like, oh, we were so close and yet so far. And like, I definitely got teased for my wannabe shoes, you know, but, you know, we did the best we could with what we had. I was also really into thrift store shopping as a teen. I went through what I like to call my grandpa sweater phase, like where I used to buy these terrible sweaters, but I thought I looked really cute and cool. I wore a lot of like raglan sleeve, like baseball style, where the sleeve is a different color, baseball tees and tops that I found at thrift stores that were vintage, which I don't know. I have to believe that every generation goes through this phase where vintage is cool, because I know that the kids nowadays, like they're all dressing in the 90s clothes, which is vintage to them. So I don't know. It's one of those rites of passage. And I also, you know, looked per your recommendation, like I looked back through some of my old photos and I can spot elements. I was really surprised by this. I spot elements of my sort of boho style in those photos, even way back then. So things like I was wearing, you know, the knockoff Birkenstock sandals. I think they were probably from Walmart. I was wearing like hemp beaded necklaces that I would make. I was wearing paisley printed bandanas. sarong skirts, the printed like wraparound sarong skirts. And like, honestly, it felt really good to see those. I've never connected those dots. I've never taken the time to reflect back in an intentional way on my appearance in those years. So it felt really good to be able to spot those elements and just feel like this knowing, this confirmation of like, hey, you're in the right space and you are doing what feels true to you now still. To see that the things that I liked back then are still the same vibe that I'm drawn to today. That felt really empowering, if I'm being honest.
That's awesome. That's so cool. At what age do you think you started to recognize those elements?
I would say probably like 15 or so, I want to say. I'm thinking back, like grade 7 and 8. Grade 7 was like my grandpa sweater phase. grade 8.
You were trying stuff out.
You know, like there is no script to follow when it comes to these things. And I think it really is trial and error. Like, I think so many people think that there's just do this thing and you'll be fine and you'll know your style. And I don't think it works that way. I think you really have to journey through it to be like, oh, I think I might like this. And then you try it. And then you realize in doing it, it's the doing where the learning happens. Right. And then now you know better for next time. So now when I go to the thrift stores, I don't focus as much on the grandpa sweaters. I've learned my lesson.
But through that experimentation, you're right. That's really where you're learning what works for you and what doesn't. And it's such an important part of the process. And, you know, I hear from women even now that are like, I'm in my 40s and I still don't know my personal style, but that's okay because you can still experiment into that. And you know what? Maybe 5 years from now, your style isn't going to be the same as it is today. And that's, we're constantly evolving, right? So it is going to change over time too. So how that leads me to my next question, how did your style evolve as you got older? And what was Lauren wearing in her 20s?
You know, I feel like my 20s is kind of where I lost my way a little bit. But I'm saying lost my way, but I think what I really mean by that is I was doing that experimentation. I was continuing what had kind of started in my teen years, and that thread was still weaving and being woven. I don't know how to say that into my 20s. I think I was testing things out to see what felt right or not right. I think I was pretty insecure, and rather than listening to my own voice, I think I was trying to copy everyone else to fit in. Again, I think we have this inclination to, oh, I got to do what everyone else is doing, even if it doesn't feel like me. I think it's a safety thing, right? I think it's a self-preservation thing. So, I mean, I'm about to age myself here, but my girlfriends and I, we watched a lot of MTV's Laguna Beach. So, you know, Kristen Cavallari and Lo Bosworth and Lauren Conrad with their Vogue internships. You know, I knew enough not to try and bleach dye my dark hair blonde like theirs. I made those mistakes in my earlier teens, but I was trying to kind of mimic and copy the styles that I'd seen those girls wearing, because those were the cool girls, you know? It was this California dream again that we've kind of talked about before. It just also wasn't me, and I can look back now and see that it was part of my journey. I just didn't know then that it wasn't me, but the only way for me to learn that was by discovery. So I think those were my like early 20 years. Later in my 20s, I also was diagnosed with an autoimmune health issue that really impacted my body. I put on a significant amount of weight in a really short amount of time. It really impacted my mental health as well. And the clothes that I wore, getting dressed, it became like a purely functional requirement. There wasn't joy in it. There wasn't creativity in it. There was no time or space for, you know, does this feel like me? Because honestly, I didn't know what I felt. I didn't know who, like, I wasn't in the headspace. I didn't have the mental capacity to figure that out. Honestly, it was survival mode, right? And I think we all go through those phases of survival mode where you're just trying to get through the day. And I was just, I just need clothes to put on my body so that I, so that I'm not, what is it? Is it the, not the naked emperor, the emperor's new clothes. That's what it is. You know, I just needed to be able to walk down the street without people pointing and laughing at me. And so it was really just about what are the basics so that I can get by. And I was working in an office job. I had a really small collection of, you know, dress slacks and button down shirts in, you know, I would rotate through those in like black, gray, brown, like boring, basic, dark colors. I didn't want to be seen. I didn't want to stand out. I just needed to survive. And so really, you know, it's sad to say now, but like that wasn't the time or the space where I had the capacity to explore. That was a survival mode for sure. So I think that between, you know, what I was going through with my physical health, with my mental health, I didn't really want to think about style. I was also, you know, in my 20s, I was still getting established as an adult. I didn't have the financial means to spend a lot on my clothing. So anytime that I would shop, you know, I could tell you where the clearance section was in every single store that I went into. And what I bought became more about the price I paid for it. And instead of, did I like it? Did it feel like me? Did it fit me well? And I know in that moment in time that if I had just taken a step back and spent a little, I was gonna say spent a little more intention, which shop with intention, outfit formulas always is just showing up in every aspect of this story because it's so, it rings so true for me. But if I had taken the time to really stop and rather than buying what was cheap, taking the time, setting a goal of, hey, my wardrobe needs this and saving up for that thing, I would have been so much farther ahead in feeling good about my appearance and my clothes, and getting dressed would have been easier. But again, I just don't think I had the mental capacity at that time to think that deeply about it. It was just survival mode.
Yeah. Definitely. We don't know what we don't know. That's for sure. And I think that a lot of us probably spent our 20s shopping the clearance racks, honestly, and not thinking through shopping with intention. And I would go get a big bag of clothes from a clearance rack, you know, maybe spend $3 to $5 per item and bring them home and realize that I wasn't really building a wardrobe at all. I just had a lot of stuff that didn't go with each other, that didn't fit and flatter my body, but was just kind of that low hanging fruit there that I didn't understand how to put all of that together. So I can totally relate to that. We've both been there. And I think that we've had that shared distaste of shopping that we've talked about through the years. And that's really why, you know, the framework, having something there to follow the steps and the system to making that something that's easier and that makes more sense is so powerful. This conversation with Lauren was so great, we ended up splitting it into two episodes. I'll be dropping the second half of the conversation into your podcast feed next week, so make sure you're subscribed. And if you can't wait until then, you can catch the full episode now on my YouTube channel. I'll put the link in my show notes at alisonlombatis.com/podcast.